The subject is Bangladesh, and I want you to remember an event in 2016 when an upscale cafe in Dhaka, frequented by foreigners, secularists and university students, was bombed, killing 22. Far from the first time, religious extremism led to violence in the majority Muslim country. Interestingly, it was carried out by affluent, well-educated young people, and it's part of a bigger story of the new ways people in Bangladesh are being radicalised. Now, my next guests have been paying close attention to the changing methods of terrorist organisations in Bangladesh. And joining me now from Oslo is Mubashir Hassan, Research Fellow at the University of Oslo, and he doubles as Adjunct Research Fellow at the Humanitarian and Development Research Initiative at Western Sydney University. And from Dhaka, Shafi Mustafa, who's Assistant Professor of World Religions and Culture at the University of Dhaka, and once again doubles as a PhD student at the University of New England. So I welcome you both to our little wireless program. To you first, Mubashir, although Bangladesh is a majority Muslim state, it had from the beginning a secular system of government, didn't it?
It still runs a secular system of government, yes.
As opposed to its former administration of Pakistan.
Yes, I mean, secularism is recognized as one of the key state principles in the constitution, and the state administers as other secular states like Australia or UK.
And also in that sense, it resembled the concept of modern Indonesia, didn't it? With a non-religious base foundation.
Yes, absolutely. Though it doesn't incorporate something like Panchashila that we see in Indonesian's case, but Bangladesh is a modern nation state.
Now, this secular state, however, is under immense pressure. Can you tell us why there's so much anger about secularism in Bangladesh?
I mean, there is a group of young people who argue that the nature of Bangladeshi state should be Islamic. By that, I try to understand what they mean. And I find that what their main conception is that the state should be reflective of some sort of Islamic culture and values. That doesn't necessarily mean that they promote terrorism or radicalism. It is the one they want to see a majoritarian Muslim state in the country. And I think something has to do with the global wave of authoritarianism and internet-driven ideas. And, you know, we are seeing the rise of the majoritarian mindset in other places, in non-Muslim countries. And we see the same in Bangladesh too.
We'll circle back to the influence of social media shortly. To you now, Shafi, domestic politics are not the only influence over terrorism in Bangladesh, because international groups like Al-Qaeda are also being attracted to the country.
Yes. So, under the leadership of Ayman al-Jawahiri, Al-Qaeda focusing on South Asia. So, in that process, they have declared the Al-Qaeda in the subcontinent. And since then, they're also trying to attract Bangladeshi youths.
So both Al-Qaeda and ISIS have been active in Bangladesh for a few years now.
Yeah, especially after 2013, we have seen that they have declared the Khalifa, local Khalifa in Bengal. Someone who was named Saifullah Ozaki. And then at the same time, we saw the side-by-side, these two groups, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they have been operating in Bangladesh, although the government denied their presence.
Back to you, Mubashir. Tell me about the influence of social media, please.
Right. I mean, The social media has been one of the key drivers behind the emancipation of this radical worldview. And this is not different from the right-wing terrorism we see, where websites such as 8chan, Facebook groups are playing pivotal role in igniting violent terrorism mindset. In Bangladesh, at the inception of the public attention on what happens to the young educated Muslim Bangladeshis who were found to be engaged in terrorism, it was found that there were several Facebook groups which were pivotal in orchestrating recruitment to terrorist outfits. But since then, against the backdrop of government attention, those groups, in my understanding, those Facebook groups are being closed down. I think it is the bigger issue, however, is the battle of ideas over the interpretation of Islam. And I think Facebook has been, and as well as YouTube, have been playing a pivotal role to promote a extremist and violent purview of Islam. And internet plays this significant role in there.
Shafi, I'm astonished by the growth of internet use in Bangladesh. Your research shows that it's shot up from, what, 90,000 in 2000 to, what, 22 million at least now.
Yeah, 22 million people there using Facebook, you know, using internet. And 70% of them, they use Facebook in their mobile phone. And you will be surprising to know that the age group 13 to 25, they are using it most. And another statistics, every minute in Bangladesh, 13 new Facebook accounts open every minute. So it is easily understood that how the young generation, they are attracted to these they're using the facilities of digitalization of Bangladesh. And here is our fear. And especially youths, they are getting attracted to militant ideology, what Mubashir has mentioned clearly, that this has become, this phase of, or this wave of militancy is completely controlled or monitored by the cyberspace. Almost 90% of Bangladeshi militant, they're getting radicalized through the online. You know, this is how they're getting radicalized online.
Mubashir, over the weekend, thousands protested in the streets of Dhaka against the treatment of Muslims by the Hindu nationalist Modi government. Why does an issue happening thousands of kilometers away strike such a nerve with Bangladeshi Muslims?
I mean, this is not entirely unique in the case of, Kashmir. There is a concept of Islam that is called Ummah, or the global brotherhood of Islam. And radicalist and the extremist has been manipulating this concept. And this concept appears in the Quran about 64 times. Even though it is an inclusive concept at times incorporates the world population, but the radicals and the extremists were successful in manipulating the concept to make an attachment of individual Muslim to what is being propagated as sufferings and injustice of their Muslim brothers and sisters in, for example, Syria, Kashmir, Palestine, and so forth. And you'd be surprised to know the common enemy in this narrative are those who do not agree with such radical interpretation of Islam. And that is why we have seen Bangladeshis being self-radicalized as well as part of terrorist outfit. And this procession, even though they are not radical, I mean, they are radical in some perspective, but they took the streets in the view that their brothers and sisters in Kashmir are sufferings. And it is always going to attract some purview, and it has always been going to be an issue in the coming days.
Shafi, Islamic fundamentalists like Al-Qaeda have been using events like the Rohingya crisis in neighbouring Myanmar as well, haven't they?
Yes, as Mubashir mentioned rightly, that the issue of Muslim persecution, you know, in the same way, Bangladesh being a neighboring country of Myanmar, and the Rohingyas are being sent to Bangladesh. So Bangladeshi people, they are very concerned about Rohingya Muslims, and the idea which Mubashir explained, the concept of Ummah is being used here. And at the same time, I have gone through some papers. There are Al-Qaeda's online magazines, their pamphlets, and I have seen they have declared war against Myanmar. So from that things, I came to understand that maybe they're trying to use the Rohingyas' frustration over their homeland. And as such, we have seen the 40 international NGOs, they were forbidden to enter the Rohingya camps because of the suspect that they might be used by the international terrorist organizations like ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
Listening. This is a big issue. Sorry to interrupt, but I've got to remind the listeners about the program and about my guests. This is Ali Nell on RN. And I'm talking to Mubashir Hassan in Oslo, Norway, and to Shafi Mustafa in Bangladesh. Back to you, Mubashir. There's an assumption in Bangladesh that poorer young people are more motivated to subscribe to jihad. But as we've been saying, a growing number of affluent and educated youths are taking it up. What are their motivations other than the ones we've described?
I mean, I found in my research there are several reasons. For example, personal loss, like loss of loved ones, relationship breakdowns such as divorce, peer and friends network and interpersonal ties such as husband radicalizing wife or vice versa behind individual case of radicalization. Also, we found that educational background also plays a significant role. Apart from madrasa students, researchers found that students of Bachelors of Business Administration, Engineering, Computer Science are involved in radical and terrorist activities. So to summarize, people without the background of liberal arts education, they tend to fall victim of this terrorist narrative.
Now, the usual targets of Islamic terrorism in Bangladesh are, yes, secular activists, the bloggers who advocate for stronger democracy, but others include people characterized as free thinkers or foreigners or atheists, and LGBT activists are also targeted, Mubashir.
They are, and also they targeted other Sufi Muslims, the Muslims who hold liberal worldviews, and they all are termed as equal as non-believers because they do not tend, according to the views of extremists, they do not tend to adhere to the extremist interpretation of Islam.
It's very sad, isn't it, Mubashir, that secularists are now targets of violence in a society that was built on secular principles.
It is. It is very sad. And also, as I told you, I think something has changed in the secular, in terms of the secular principle in the overall society. We see that there is a wave of new religiosity happening around the country. You know, there are several surveys being conducted, and all indicates to the rise of religious nationalism in the country.
I understand the government response to terrorism is coming into question. Would you tell the listener about their punitive responses to terrorist actions?
So the key characteristic of the government approach has been to use brute force to neutralize terrorists. At least 79 suspected radicals have been killed and over 150 others are arrested in an aggressive anti-militancy crackdown. The problem is that government needs to remember this, that this is a battle of ideas. To be specific, in this context, it is the battle of battle over interpretation of Islam. So eradicating bodily threats through brute force would hardly bring long-lasting results. There needs to be a communication campaign targeting youths to delegitimize the authority of terrorist interpretation of Islam. And I think government needs to consider this. I mean, brute force would hardly bring any sustainable result.
It looks to the outside world, I would suggest, that the government is more concerned with stifling opposition than terrorism.
There are allegations in one or two cases, and the problem is the information about terrorists or terrorism is heavily guarded by the government. So the news reports we see too are based on government sources. So it is entirely or closely impossible for researchers like us to comment that who is a terrorist or who is an opposition leader, opposition activist.
I've pointed out in introducing you that both of you, of course, have strong Australian connections, and this raises the question that radical Bangladeshi Islam has made its way here, hasn't it?
There was at least two cases. One is about Shuma Mumena, and I think there is another Bangladeshi man from Sydney was arrested. And again, this is the idea of self-radicalization and how the attachment to the idea of Ummah is being propagated by them. But again, having said that, the Bangladeshi community in Australia are in general peace-loving and they're contributing to the prosperity of Australia. It is the few bad apples that fall victim of, not victim, they are the perpetrators. And like every other community, it is a threat.
I would urge you to understand, Mubasha, that almost everyone listening to this program accepts the bad apple principle. And I thank you both for coming on. Mubasha Hassan, Research Fellow at the University of Oslo, Adjunct Research Fellow at the Humanitarian and Development Research Initiative at Western Sydney, and from Dhaka, Shafi Mustafa, who's Assistant Professor of World Religions and Culture, University of Dhaka, and a PhD student here in Australia. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.